I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, an absolutely alert and awake Ian Morris.
Yeah, he didn't get up 30 minutes before we recorded the show, everyone.
It was nowhere near 30 minutes. It was more like four.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, plays my body for waking me up because it could have just carried me right through this show.
Did you see that my employer put out a press release about my new TV show?
I did see that your employer put out a new press release about your show.
Yes, everyone should watch it from April. It's going to be magnificent.
I will.
Anyway, with that shameless plug out of the way, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, Nate. Well rested, anyway.
Good.
How are you?
It's fine. It's fine.
I listened to your extra message, actually, the one about getting old.
Oh, yeah.
I listened on the way back from dropping the kids off, and that's not a metaphor.
Sorry for slandering you there in that episode.
No, slander. I was pleased to hear it. I completely agree. I'm obviously going through something.
Yeah.
Only a man in the middle of his ages would buy a Jag. Still the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I just thought it was worth pointing out publicly without your knowledge.
No, absolutely. But it seems perfectly reasonable. Mm.
It's how I solve all my problems. You should see how I solve problems with Kate, with my marriage. Podcast about
talk
it.
About the bye bye.
wait for her to hear it.
flawless.
Absolutely. Right, technology. ISP Review, which I have to say is one of my favourite websites at the moment.
I think we use it quite a bit on this show. We should probably send them a crate of wine or something.
We should do, yeah. Well, it wrote this week that Ofcom has set out its expectations for how Three, Vodafone, EE and O2 should kill the 2G and 3G mobile services that they still use. Ofcom obviously wants to make sure people aren't being cut off from vital services, more of which rely on the older 2G standard than 3G, which is actually why 3G is going to die a hell of a lot more quickly than 2G, for reasons we'll come to, I'm sure. But in fact, Vodafone has started dragging 3G behind the proverbial sheds and garages with a loaded projectile swung over its back. And people in Plymouth and Basingstoke are going to be the first to lose 3G, on Vodafone at least. As of pretty much, as far as I can tell, as we speak.
Basingstoke, home of Vodafone, right? Well, not quite. It's sort of that area, isn't it? It's like the Reading, Basingstoke sort of.
Indeed.
Area,
indeed. Although they just sold their HQ.
Oh, did they?
They sold it and then leased it back. Like I think Nokia did a few years ago.
Vodafone's the weirdest company in the entire world. Like, it's this huge British company that we should all be, I guess, proud of. And it keeps sort of proposing these absolutely mind-bogglingly stupid ideas, like selling off all of its European operations for £1 or something ridiculous and trying to buy Virgin.
It's having a midlife crisis. It's having a little moment. I mean, the board fired its chief executive officer without having a successor in place, which is pretty...
Jaguar did that. Well, they say that didn't fire him. He sort of left, but it's a bit sus.
Yeah. Go to Bloomberg.com for more news about Vodafone's challenging position in the market.
Anyway, sorry, I derailed that slightly.
It's fine, mate. I forgive you, because it was relevant and interesting. Anyway... Captain Kremen in our live chat says that it's interesting because smart meters use at least one of those. They do. Smart meters use 2G. I believe the newer ones use a kind of network that all the energy companies use, which means
Do they sort of buddy off each other? So if you've got like they hop from one to the other or something, is it a mesh network?
It's not a mesh. It's more like that you can change provider and the smart meter will still work. Like, it's at the back end that they.
Because that was
that
a problem with the first generation ones. If you switched, you had to have a new meter. Ridiculous.
It was.
Yeah, who thought of that?
Previous governments.
Mr. Electron.
So, 3G going before 2G. Vodafone says that it's going to axe all of its 3G services by the end of this year. And I think that's a bit sad, actually, because Vodafone just became old enough to vote. Its 3G network, that is. It just had its 18th birthday.
Oh.
It might make it to 19 by the time it draws its last breath.
Still like very Joan of Arc. Young.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was 19 when she died.
That's as a very historical reference. I'm impressed.
Well, then the question can be, I suppose, who did more for Plymouth? Was it the most notable peasant-born revolutionary of the Hundred Years' War or Vodafone on 3G?
It's difficult to say. I think, oh, I don't know, probably Joan of Arc somehow.
Let us know, Britain. Did you die at 19? Who else died at 19?
Tutankhamun. I don't know. Oh, really? I think so. Staggeringly young.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you are of questionable...
I mean, presumably Tutankhamun in the lore of Stargate would have been a Gor-Ald anyway, which surprised me because they lived for thousands of years.
I haven't watched Stargate.
Oh, you should. It's very good.
Hmm.
Should watch SG-1. It's on... Oh, you haven't got Sky, have you? It's on Sky.
Oh, Catherine Howard apparently died age 19. Interesting. Thanks, Nick. Posted a link in the chat. We probably won't put that in the show notes because it's morbid, but it is interesting. Anyway, let's go through the end of this bit of information. I suppose, unlike Joan of Arc, anyway, Vodafone isn't planning on burning its 3G masts at the stake. Not least because metal is probably harder to melt than a person, but instead because it wants to use these... Yeah, because it wants to use these the same masts to increase its coverage of 4G and 5G in these affected areas. And actually, Vodafone had a Q&A sort of thing on the website that part of the reason they've chosen Plymouth and Basingstoke as the first place to kill 3G is because the indoor coverage of 4G is now over 99% in Plymouth and Basingstoke. So the number of people at risk of being cut off by this is... extremely, extremely low. I had a look up at when some of the other networks plan on killing 3G, in case you need to investigate any devices still using it. Three says it's going to phase them out over, by the end of 2024. EE, early 2024, it wants to kill it. And O2... according to ISP Review, I'm looking at here, says hasn't announced a public sunsetting time frame, but will adhere to the 2033 date. Now, 2033, I have a feeling that's when Ofcom actually set the deadline for 2G to be killed.
Really?
I think it's something like that. Like, it's a really long way away.
Well, it 2G. Needs to be, really. But yeah. Did you know, out of interest, that this has affected certain Teslas? The Tesla Model S, built before June 2015, according to the Tesla website, have only 3G modems in, so certain features will not work unless you go and have a very, very expensive new modem put in.
Oh.
Yes.
And that's in this
country. I say that. The LTE modem update is available for £143 plus applicable taxes and includes installation. I suppose that's not too expensive.
It's probably not too expensive to anyone who can afford a Tesla, but it does feel like that's the kind of upgrade that they should probably offer for free.
I think given the importance of mobile connectivity in that car particularly... I would say that's probably why it's quite cheap, because they don't want to lose the ability to stop you from supercharging, for example, or charge you for one thing or another. So it makes sense for them to make it as cheap and accessible as possible.
Hmm. That's a challenge.
Sure is.
But yeah, everything that's really important that I can think about, are either 2G or 4G.
I'm trying to think about what iPads will this take down? I mean, there must be a few iPads that have got only 3G, right?
Well, the iPads, even if they have 3G, they still support 2G and Edge. So
yeah, but that's going to be a very unpleasant experience.
It would be, and a lot of the older models, and that's not limited to iPads, like many devices
Nick
that have 3G.
Nick suggested the Amazon Kindle.
Yeah.
So are those ones, are all of the Amazon Kindles that have, they're all 3G, are they?
Well, the older ones, I believe, are. But Amazon, I'm sure this came up well over a year ago, if not longer, that Amazon was offering discounts to people to buy a new one because essentially they were going to have their current ones bricked.
Mm.
I remember. Maybe
I don't know what's in mine.
Story.
I've got a Kindle, but I can't remember which one it is.
It's worth looking at. I mean, if you've got a Kindle right now,
yeah,
it's possible because O2 did a lot of partnerships for like white labeled,
yeah,
like MVNO sort of things.
I just thought that Amazon Kindle thing was such a good idea that you could go to loads of countries across the world and still be able to get a book. I thought that was just such a great idea.
It was brilliant PR as well, yeah. Because the size of a book, it's, you know, it's a couple of hundred K.
Yeah, people worked out how to do all sorts of other things on it, though, like browse the internet and stuff like that. But to warnings that, you know, if they continued to do that, Amazon would find a way of shutting it down and spoil the thing for everyone. But it sounds like a whole bunch of those Kindles will be killed off by this anyway.
Well, it's worth having a look around your house, seeing what's near you. Do you have a Tesla Model S? The S stands for should have asked for a free upgrade.
The Tesla Model S is the only good one, if you ask me. It's the only stylish one. And yeah, I think so. The big one, the people carrying one, is just ghastly. And if you see it on the road, it's so big and out of proportion that I just hate it. I really despise it.
I don't think I've ever seen one.
There's but every one, time, Luke says the X, it looks like someone inflated a balloon. But that balloon was modelled on Crichton's head.
Well, keep it away from Biden. He might missile it down.
The Cybertruck has been out for a little drive as well. My God, that thing's ugly. Anyway, carry on.
That's okay. If you've got any thoughts on 3G or THRUG, do let us know, of course.
Is that what we're calling it?
Hello at uktechshow.com. Also, if you have a famous historical 19-year-old who perished before their time that you'd like to compare to the death of certain usage of the electromagnetic spectrum, do write in. Let us know, Britain.
You're exactly the kind of lunatic that we want to hear from on this show.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Become a patron for crying out
loud.
You're
our kind of people, frankly. That was a really slick transition, by the way. Well done. Unfortunately, I fell asleep before the show, so my notes for this next section amount to basically it's raining money for ChatGPT company OpenAI as Microsoft officially throws down $10 billion investment. That's from Fortune, noting that Microsoft has made a substantial investment in the AI maker, and it has appeared this week that that will be folded into Bing. Which I'm very excited about.
Yes, I mean, that story is also from about 2 weeks ago, but I know that the point that you wanted to make is about chat, like chatbots as search engines.
This is my thing, right? So, I mean, look, I don't think either you or I would speak particularly highly of Google search these days. It's an ad-festooned nightmare, which companies have been gaming for some considerable time in order to get to the to pole position. I'll make this interesting.
Please do.
Although there's a lack of preparation on my part by telling you about the sort of stuff we used to go through at the Mirror. The whole goal at the Mirror, which is, for those who don't know, a UK tabloid. I worked briefly for 6 months in the science and tech online area. We would get yelled at if we didn't have a breaking news story up within like 30 seconds of it happening. Now, the reason for that is that this highly contested news box on Google delivers an enormous amount of traffic to sites. So when you search for something that's newsworthy, you know, if you were to search right now for, I don't know, Tory party sleaze or something like that, you'd get a whole bunch of news stories at the top, and those are the ones that really drive traffic. So the goal was always to hit that news box and be first in it, and then so you don't write a story. All you do is you have a pre-prepared block of text with a unique headline and a first line that just basically describes what's happening. You throw that live immediately, and then you get to the first news box, hopefully. And then what you do is you keep updating that, you know, adding in new paragraphs, so Google sees it as new updates and new content, and it keeps its position in the news box. That is extremely valuable. When I was at Future, that was exactly the same thing. You know, every conversation you'd have with everyone would be about how can we get this to the top of Google, how can we own this search word, you know, what can we do? So the system is broken. It has destroyed proper journalism in many ways, because all anyone's thinking about is you know, how can I own Google search. And I came across this yesterday. I was looking for news on the television series Snowpiercer, which I think we've talked about, has been cancelled by the American network it airs on, which is TNT, part of Warner Brothers Discovery. And so my question is, Netflix licensed that show separately. Will Netflix still show it as before? And all my searches were simply articles that have the same basic Q&A in them. You know, everything you need to know about season 4 of Snowpiercer. None of them contained the information that I actually needed to have. Now, I believe that with an AI interface, I could say, please find me articles about the Snowpiercer season 4 that specifically reference its airing on Netflix or something like that. And I would be able to get a natural language result without having to faff around. Now, obviously, the downside of that is considerable, because this is scraping websites, and that's going to ruin publishing even more. So it's not all good news. It's selfishly meets my needs, but also destroys the whole of journalism further. Nate, your thoughts?
In broad strokes, I agree, because that is problematic, but that does tend to be for quite specific types of content, in my yes. experience. You know, current events, popular media, sports, things like that. Actually, if you're searching for information, and particularly older things, those sorts of problems rarely show their head in the same way or with the same veracity as the competing, you know, tabloids and things will do. I find it less annoying than how unusable the web is in general, thanks to its pop-ups and cookie notifications and newsletters.
Did I tell you about Ghostery, though?
No.
Ghostery now automatically declines all cookies, and you can watch it do it. You go to a website with a cookie pop-up, and all the things slide to no, and it closes it. Ghostery is first class.
Okay, I'm going to be installing Ghostery.
Absolutely. It works on Safari as well, so you'll be quids in no matter what device you use. Firefox, Chrome, Safari, all supported.
Okay, good knowledge there.
Oh, absolutely. The idea.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big issue, and although I teased it at the top of the show, I'm doing a new series for Bloomberg TV all about AI, and a big part of my interest in it is not specifically in the chat capabilities of individual product, but in the way that information is processed and accessed. And there's a huge question over credit and sourcing and showing you're working. And it's something that actually Google as a search engine is very good at doing, because it's pointing you to sources of information. But what it's very bad at doing is sorting out actually who originated the information. And obviously the websites themselves, priority is given to speed and placement more so necessarily than originality and quality. And that can be problematic. So for me, the hope is that as these things develop, it's not just that you get one nice clean answer in the middle of your screen.
It's about filtering the results in a really smart way.
Exactly. I still want to see a whole spread of information, but I'd like it to be more intelligently presented. And that's what I think we might see.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I'm excited by that. I feel like this is a real revolution in search. And I think, you know, Google's lost a lot of functionality as well. Like, you know, being able to put stuff in quotes and do minus this and plus that. They've sort of got rid of all that functionality because they sort of believe that they're... I think so. It doesn't...
I don't think they have.
Well, I don't think it works like it used to. I mean, I'm sure you remember back in the day of Alta Vista, one would have to do quite a lot of plussing and minusing and quotes to get the results that, you know, people wanted.
But Alta Vista was built on a very different model. It was all about meta types and things.
And
approach.
As a result, would have been far easier to game once people really got the hang of things. So yes, it's a difficult one, but I don't know. We'd have to look into it. But as far as I know, that Google has taken away some of that functionality. It doesn't do what it used to do. Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to test this now. What should I search for? I'll do in quotes Ian Morris in brackets.
Yes, and then I'll do plus Forbes and minus CNET or something.
Plus Forbes minus CNET. No results.
Well, there you go. See, that's not that should have resulted in terms that featured my name that included Forbes but didn't include CNET.
Well, if I take quotes out, I still get Ian Morris, but it's the wrong Ian Morris. So what if I do Ian Morris just minus CNET? This looks like it works, because all of these Ian Morrises are... They look like a British historian, archaeologist.
Yeah, that's a dude. There's a guy who wrote an inflammatory article for the New York Times that people sometimes shout at me on Twitter about.
Oh, well, there's one here from the FT. Poisoning, adultery, incest, murder and mayhem. A family... .. I don't know what that is. There's one here from an Ian Morris on Rolling Stone.
That isn't me, as far as I know.
It's about streaming services.
Is it?
So it must be a different Ian Morris.
Really? Are you sure they haven't just licensed something that I haven't been paid for?
Well, there is always that possibility.
Can you send me the link? I want to check it out. I want to find out who Ian Morris is.
I'm sure Rolling Stone is above that.
Well, to be fair, there are some Ian Morrises in America that that are noteworthy.
That's why you should pick your own name, mate. Then no one can have it. Which is fine if you want to be a journalist, but bad if you want to be a murderer.
I mean, I've never aspired to be a murderer, so that sounds pretty good to me. And I was a journalist, so...
Well, I think that's why we're friends.
Yes, you wouldn't have liked me anywhere near as much if I'd tried to murder and eat you.
No, honestly, they're not mutually exclusive. I wouldn't like you to have tried to murder me or eat me, both at once. I mean, if you'd murdered me, I suppose you could do with my body what you wish. That's a bit morbid. So, what was our point? Search and chatbots. It's an interesting one. I think we're going to see a lot of evolution in it. There isn't a specific UK angle. However, here's an experiment in making one out of nothing. The more specific you get with search, the harder it is to find things, because they are not popular to be linked to and cited. And it does make me wonder, would this be more helpful for finding those extremely granular, nuanced pieces of content? Because a neural network processes data in a very, very different way to a more traditional database, or even the way that Google ranks pages. And it's kind of, I suppose it's more like an educated guess, a mathematical guess as to what answer it should give you, whereas Google is more about, well, we've weighed up all the links and everything,
and Google tends to give you a site-wide rating based on what you're good at. So for example, at the Mirror, they were a news organization, so they ranked very well for news and less well for reviews. I'm fairly sure that would be true of Bloomberg, although you don't review a lot of stuff. So from my perspective, I feel like that's a kind of a broken thing, because it doesn't necessarily mean that a site wouldn't be good at the other thing, but they would be more well known for the first thing. So I think any sort of more intelligence around that, and realistically, we need some strong competition for Google, because it's just ruining search at the moment. And I would like to see Bing be more, you know, brilliant, frankly. Those English words brought to you in broken English by me,
Ian Morris. Not the
Rolling Stone one. Yeah.
No. Are you an Ian Morris? Have you written an inflammatory article about something that you wish to share with us? Have you killed and eaten one of your friends? Let us know. Our email address is 999 or 911 at... No, I've exhausted that.
Sorry.
Go on.
I've just realised that it won't make any sense to listeners of the regular show because it's something we do for patrons before the show starts. Guess the hole. But I've just spotted a hole in the tree outside that we could have used. It's a hoopy hoop, whatever they're called.
Have you had a fall recently?
Sorry, I was just laughing and looked out the window and saw a hoop in the tree.
Oh.
And I wanted to tell you all about it. I don't know why.
Good.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
I feel it's important that we do, yes. I'm going to thank some people.
Good.
Those people are patrons. They support us directly. And they are, and I've worked this out, the most attractive people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are listening to us live, and welcome to you all. Thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. I'm going to call out Luke, because Luke has been a long-time patron and has recently rejoined us in the land of the live show. And it's great to have you back with us. Thank you to everyone, though, for supporting us. You'll get the full version of the show ad-free. Join our live audience. It is a great amount of fun, not least because, as Ian alluded to just now, we play a fantastic game before every show, it seems these days, called Guess the Hole. This week, it was a stonker. Next week, if Ian's got anything to do with it, it's going to be a hole in a tree.
No, we won't be able to do that now.
But you can find more about that by going to patreon.com/UKTech and finding out how you can support Ian for as little as £2. Anyway, if you are a patron, you're about to hear this week's third discussion story, also known as printers. I think our conversation actually just now, Ian, about printers is probably one of the most fun discussions.
It was good. I came out of left field and defended printers in a way that if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I wouldn't have believed was possible.
No, for me to be more angry than you about something is staggering. Well, yeah. we had an email that came in from Sean that I'm going to let you read because it is addressing something we talked about the other day on the show. Subtitles issue.
Yeah, Sean said, I enjoyed the subtitle discussion. I watch everything with them. One huge annoyance is HDR in subtitles. Netflix codes subtitles as pure white, and it is blinding on an OLED during dark scenes. I changed the colour to off-white, but now the subtitles are hard to see on every other device. I wish subtitling was independent of the service. I completely understand what you're saying, Sean. When I first got my LG OLED and turned on subtitles, I was shocked by just how bright they are. It is unbelievable, and it is a huge problem. Why they are done that way and why you can't have device independent subtitles, I don't really understand. Probably possible to have them created by the thing you're watching. So, you know, like the TV would have a subtitle engine and it would read the text and present it in a way that was suitable for that device. But that's not how it's done. So we have to sort of live with it.
It's a great, great email. We had a lot of good comments about the subtitle conversation. Had a message from Naomi who said she enjoyed it too. So maybe we should be talking about those sorts of things a little more. Well, someone else who's been talking about things quite a lot more is Mr. Tom Merritt on Daily Tech News Show. Tom is here in pre-recorded form to tell us what's been happening in the wider world of tech this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, Rob Dunwood tells us what was important from the Samsung Galaxy Unpacked announcement. David Spark talked to us about why ransomware attacks are generating less money for the criminals than they used to. Dr. Nikki reviews the Haiku box. It's basically Shazam for birds. Shannon Morse gives us a firsthand account of the efforts in Colorado for towns to retake the right to build their own internet service, and why every other tech story is about ChatGPT and, well, it's probably justified right now. All that and more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Shazam Oops. For Birds.
Well,
is like, really...
well, that's brilliant.
What is?
Shazam for Birds. I love it.
I have a Shazam for Birds. It's called Chirp-O-Matic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
lovely.
What a delightful way to spend some time in wildlife.
My favorite feature, though, is it has a playback function called Bird Safe Mode, where if you press Bird Safe Mode, you want to hear the chirp back. It only plays it through the earpiece, so you have to put it to your head, so it doesn't confuse nearby birds into thinking that a mate approaches.
That's delightful. What a absolutely beautiful piece of technology.
Charlotte in chat says, I have Shazam for Birds. It's called Merlin. I use it when I walk my cat.
Wow. It seems like there's a lot of business happening in the Shazam for Birds world. Is this some segment I wasn't previously aware of?
It's a bird-tastic world out there, mate. Bird-tastic.
Sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're a bird, do send us a tweet, of course. We're on at TextMessagePod. That joke brought to you courtesy of 2007. If you would like to send us an email, do. hello@uktechshow.com.
And you'll have to guess the address.
hello@uktechshow.com.
Well, I know. Sorry.
And as has become customary, I should thank all my patrons. Our patrons. You're all beautiful people. Get the extended version of the show. It's a cracker this week. Absolute cracker, I think. And we've had a great live audience too. Thank you to everyone listening. And as ever, Ian gets the last word. I've pressed the music, so...
I don't know why you keep giving me the last word. It's a complete waste of the last word. And I always get it wrong.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.